It's a Friday. You made it. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
52 degrees right now. Going to be a beautiful fall day in Rochester. High of 77, sunny. Great high school football matchups this weekend.
Oh, really?
Get out, support the boys and the gals. Doing the soccer and the field hockey as well. Support everybody, Tommy.
Just go out there and look at all of them.
You got to look at all the kids you can. can we start the show over? I would like to start the show over.
Yeah, we need a redo.
Okay. I want to talk about when you get put in a situation that you're not normally in.
Okay.
Embarrassing things can happen.
Sure.
And the reason I bring this up is last night, my wife and I, we went down to the Blue Cross Arena to go see comedian Nate Bargatze.
Ooh, look at you, night on the town.
No big deal, buddy. And here's
hobnobbing.
Here's how out in the town it was.
Yeah.
My wife was too tired to like get dressed, so she just threw on one of my hoodies. And quick sidebar.
Yeah.
The discrepancy in which outfits exist in comedy shows is one of the funniest things on the planet.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, we did this for a living.
Yeah.
And you remember this, right? Like, you would go to a comedy club, we'd be performing, and there would be guys in, like, a dirty T-shirt sitting next to a guy in a full suit.
Yep.
Like, last night,
you
know, it's a very exciting night. By the way, they sold the place out. 12,000 seats.
Oh, my God.
Not a seat
for
in the house.
Show.
Open, yeah. And he played in the round, like, he's in the middle. It was a great show. If you went, you know, it was fantastic. But, like, we're walking in. And I'm just in a shirt and jeans. My wife's in a hoodie. And there's a guy next to us in a blazer, nice pants, like shiny shoes. His
Damn.
Wife is in a dress.
Date night.
Yeah. But you couldn't tell.
Big night out.
So traffic downtown last night was chaos.
For the show.
Yes. I mean, first of all, you got more people than normal going to the Blue Cross Arena because there's floor seats, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. But past that, it became apparent very quickly that a lot of people going to this show do not normally go into downtown Rochester.
No.
Because they didn't know how to use roads or streetlights or their steering wheel.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Some basic stuff.
So,
well, they probably got thrown off, too, because they block off roads to, like, keep the traffic flowing.
You got it.
So, like, once they couldn't do what their GPS was telling them to do, they were probably lost.
Bro, there are points, I'm not exaggerating, where in the intersection, there are cars just diagonal, like, pointing towards buildings. Like,
just there.
How did you get there?
Yeah.
How did you get to that point? So, we're trying to find a parking spot. So, I'm thinking, all right, we'll park in the parking garage next to Dinosaur there. You know, the one that's connected to all the hotels, the convention center. So, there's a line of, like, 40 cars to get into the outside entrance. There's the entrance of the parking garage in the hotel. Wide open. Nobody knew. Like, again, these are all people coming from outside the city. Fine, whatever. So, but that's not what I want to talk about.
What's that?
We get into the parking garage, and I saw, no exaggeration, at least a dozen people, men, with their wives out of the car, helping them back in to a parking spot.
Usually that's for elderly people.
These were not.
Yeah,
these are like young guys.
Yeah, like guys my age.
And she's back at a man like the airport.
Yeah.
Pull the planes in.
Those spots are in the garage a little tighter. Sometimes you got to deal with the pole. I get it.
Yeah.
But like, but I am surprised that it got to that point.
At least a dozen.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, you know, if you don't normally park in a parking garage, it'd be a little intimidating, right? But see, when you do that, it makes everyone have to wait 20 minutes.
Yes.
And it also kind of makes you look like a bitch.
Oh, it does. It's demasculating.
Can we agree on that?
Is that a word?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Well, you also chose to back in.
Yeah. Well, Leo, Kimmy, if I don't back in, then I can't back up when the traffic's coming up.
You did this to yourself.
I gotta back up when the traffic's coming
up. Every once in a while, you know, somebody's going to have to get out of the car and figure this out, man.
Okay. So I had said to Kimmy before the show, when it comes to masculinity, I guess this would be my version of toxic masculinity. I would rather scratch the hell out of my car and have to pay a deductible than have anyone else witness me watching my wife back me into a parking.
Yeah, but sometimes you're just there.
Nope.
You've never had it happen?
I'm not, have someone back me into a spot?
Or just help you navigate a situation.
No.
So the last time it happened to me, I had a rental car.
Okay.
And I thought I was driving on a road, but I wasn't.
What were you driving on?
I was on a walking path.
And watch out, showed place.
Yes, and it is raining out.
Whoops!
And I don't know where. I've never been to this place in my life.
Okay.
And my wife kept going, I don't think this is a road. I'm going, well, there's a road up there. Maybe if I could just get to that road, and it wouldn't let me. So now I got to back up, and there's poles, and it's a rental car, and I'm like, I can't see. I go, you're going to have to get out in the rain and help me back this car back down to the street.
And that's why she married him, because he's a provider.
Yes.
So that's like
well,
twice.
I got you there.
Yeah, she didn't get you out.
I was going to say, that's like triple embarrassing because, A, you're not even on a road. You're
Thank
somewhere
you.
You're not supposed to be.
Yeah, I got to rent a car, so if I nick it, I'm screwed.
Yeah, there's yeah. that. Your wife is helping you. She's got to get out of the car to help you. And you
it's
sent your
pouring,
wife out into the rain
pouring,
to do it.
And I mean, it is buckets of like Florida rain. And we're not even in Florida. Like at the place we were, I didn't think it rained like this.
It's not a good look.
No.
And I want to be clear. I'm not trying to brag about my driving and parking prowess. I've said on the air before, I can't parallel park to save my life.
Most people can't.
I'm terrible
at it. You
don't do it,
that much.
All the time.
I'm terrible at it. But I would rather take 9 runs at a parallel parking spot then have my wife get out in front of other people and get me into that spot. I will not do it.
I'm always jealous of guys that can just park.
Same season.
So my second father-in-law, Big Tony, drove an old 77 Eldorado. It was a barge. And he could I don't know how he did it. And he barely looked around. Like, he just had a feel for it. And so this little Sicilian dude in his car that's 10 times his size, you could just drop it anywhere.
So you're describing my wife. I'm sorry, Kim, I don't mean to cut you off. But where am I on this topic?
Yeah.
My wife is a brilliant parallel parker. And there have been 2 or 3 times where we've been places where I need to parallel park and I'm struggling. And she's like, just get out and I'll do it. And I'm like, no. Like, you will have to kill
over
me.
Over my dead body.
Thank you. You will be dragging my unconscious body out of this seat before I allow you to come across this seat and park my car.
Like, I don't think I've ever been with a woman that could parallel park.
Oh, I know women that are actually good. But they also lived in places where they had
like
to.
Like a city.
Yeah.
They just had a lot of practice.
Sure.
But isn't it more embarrassing to hit something than it is?
Yes.
Because, like, I watched this happen. We were sitting out on Park Ave. And there was an older guy, put him like maybe in his 70s. He and his wife were trying to parallel park. Not only did he hit the car behind him parallel parking, he pulled forward and hit the car in front of him. So I'm guessing for that guy, if his wife had just come out and go and did this.
The double bump.
I wouldn't have remembered it, put it that way.
Okay, look, what you're saying is logical. Everything you're saying is logical. I'm telling you, I would rather hit the car. Then my wife go, okay, now to turn it slightly to the right. Like, I'm watching these guys last night. You get 252 WCMF. My wife and I go down to the Blue Cross Arena to see Nate Bargatze, and it became apparent parking the car with all the traffic and the parking garages there that a lot of these people do not come into the city often because there were, I'm not exaggerating, a dozen different people that I am driving by where the wife or girlfriend is out of the car backing these guys in with their cars to the parking spot, right? Like, yes, Kimmy, it's going to be more expensive, it's going to be more embarrassing, but there is just something about looking like I'm bringing a plane down a taxiway for a car that I drive every day that I cannot tolerate other people seeing. I just can't do it.
Don't you see this all the time in like the Bills parking lot, though? I feel like I see people like waving cars in, telling them to stop, like especially in those really, really tight parking lots.
All right, if the Bills employee has to wave me
sometimes in. Sometimes it's not a Bills employee. Sometimes it's a buddy in the car
that
has
to get out. Okay,
that
I'm not doing either.
Are you talking about parking into somebody's yard? Or
a yard or like just those private lots. They really try to squeeze a lot of cars in there. So I'll see people get out and help their friends park.
If the guy
the
who runs the lot's going to back me in, I'm not going to be like, get out of my way.
Oh, the puss lot?
Yeah. I do park in the puss lot. And all you guys listening that I know you're a bunch of pusses too.
Especially like if there's like a drop off or something behind them.
Okay, that's maybe the one time I would allow. If there's a cliff, I'll allow my
Hold
way.
On. Weren't you at a wedding where somebody went off the side or something?
Yes.
But they had to go get a tractor to like save the dude?
The guy took an Uber to this wedding who was at somebody's house. And he goes, hey, the driveway's tight. You want me to help you get out? The Uber driver goes, no, I got it.
Oh, no.
And like 2 seconds later was in a ditch.
But didn't they have like the guy?
The homeowner had to like get out some like
heavy
equipment.
Scoop
pull
him
up.
Out. Scoop up his manhood and put it back on the road.
In front of it. He had an audience.
Oh.
And by the way, as we're talking lame, because I would argue, I'm not trying to absolve myself of lame, because we did also have to pull a lame move last night. The show was about 2 hours long. My daughter had hockey practice that we had to pick her up from. And knowing what the traffic was going to be, now I sound like
I gotta get out of that traffic.
If I got stuck there for 2 hours, then my daughter would have just been sitting by herself.
Yeah.
So we had to leave the show 15 minutes
early. Did it get up? but in a room full of people and leave.
Tommy, where our seats were, we had to walk in front of all 12,000 people. And, you know, it's dead
silent. Leaving, just going to get some food.
And it's not a concert, right? So, like, everybody is just focused on what this man is saying. And here comes my wife and I. Bye, everybody. Hey, Nate Bargatze. I enjoy your show. This is not an indictment on the show you're doing while my daughter has hockey practice.
Oh, God.
It's really embarrassing to have to walk in front of a room of a lot of people.
And he didn't say anything, which was cool.
Well, I mean, I mean, that guy's a professional. He's not us. Where are you going to take a dump? That'll come to your job and kick the dog out of your mouth. Like, he's not a hack like we are. Only one of the comics.
That would have killed, though.
Can I say, I'm sorry. We're going inside baseball. I can't help myself. So there were four comics on the show last night. It was a very unique show for comedy.
Yeah.
Because, Tommy, normally it's an MC, sometimes a middle, and then a headline.
Yeah.
And, like, when you do the arena show, sometimes it's just a guy that goes, ladies and gentlemen, here's your headliner. So they had four comics. Each of them did about 10 minutes ahead of Nate Bargatze, and then on comes the comedian headliner. Three of them on the show, great.
Mm.
One guy last night had a rough set.
Okay.
But that's
about the average if you had four comics.
And then here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. You and I can both attest. There are nights it just ain't working.
Yeah, that was every night.
But when it comes to jobs you do or you've had,
yeah,
like if you bake for a living and you go into a bakery and you're watching someone do stuff, you know it's not the way it's done. It bothers you.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Like if you work in construction and you're stuck in traffic watching somebody do a job that you know they're doing wrong, it irks you.
Yeah.
The only person that was more uncomfortable than the guy that struggled last night.
Yeah, what was that?
It was like I was on fire watching this poor guy.
Just the anxious feeling.
Come on. I'm cheering for him. It's like watching a Bills game. Like, come on. Starting 15, but you got this, man. Just run up. Just chalk it up in the air and see what
happens.
Bring
it home.
And then he did a joke he should not have done. It's a clean show. And he did like a... Oh, like one of those, they don't like you enough for you to be able to pull this off.
Oh, a little edgy?
It wasn't even edgy. That's how poorly he was doing. I felt terrible for the guy because he's got to be talented.
To get to that level with these people.
Exactly, yes.
Who are these people?
Oh, God, no! Felt so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it would be rough.
Yeah. Also, everybody there was between the ages of 25 and 40.
Well, that sounds about right for this guy, right? Yeah. He's new.
Dad humor.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. Everybody looked the same. It was 11,998 of the same exact people.
Bunch of white boys.
Yeah, and girls.
Suburban dads.
It was nothing but suburban moms and dads.
All right.
We're at it. Like, I thought everybody was leaving 15 minutes early to get their kid from hockey.
So if I didn't know what was going on, let's say everybody was seated.
Yes.
But nobody was performing yet, and I walked into that room.
Yes.
I would think it's a mega church.
Bro, I said to my wife, it looks like we're at a youth pastor's convention.
Yeah. It's got to be, right? I'm waiting for, like, Joel?
Joel Osteen.
Yeah, Osteen to come out and start talking.
Yeah, I mean, but show was great, man. He's very talented.
Well, they say Nate Bargatze is the Joel Osteen of comedy.
We are officially in spooky season.
Yeah, and spooky.
There are lots of ways to get your Halloween fix.
Yeah, sure.
Right, you can go to, Apple Patch, Apple Farm.
Apple Picking?
Apple Picking, do all that stuff.
Go to your orchard.
Spooky stuff there. You can kick it up a notch a little higher. Maybe go to a haunted hayride.
Yeah.
But if you want the full paranormal experience, it may take an overnight journey.
So what are we looking at?
Well, lucky for us, that full-on paranormal experience, the best in the country.
No kidding.
Is right down the road.
Damn.
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Tommy?
Yeah, buddy.
Allow me to tell you about a bed and breakfast hotel.
Ooh.
Called the Fainting Goat.
Oh.
It's about a two-hour drive from us. It is right near the Pennsylvania border.
Mm.
And it has been named the most haunted hotel in America.
Wow.
That's right.
This cram full of ghosts?
So, it's well-known in haunted hotel circles.
Sold out of ghosts.
It is sold out of ghosts. Well, to the point where people say they have a hard time sleeping because it is full of, and I quote, noisy ghosts.
They're either bumping into each other all night.
Hey, right.
Dragging chains over here, over there.
So it was originally built as a railroad hotel in the 1800s. When it comes to what is inside, like it's like a four-bedroom hotel.
Yeah.
Old school as hell looking.
Yeah.
But along with the noisy ghosts, there are two reports of two female ghosts that are regularly seen having tea.
Oh.
Others say furniture in their rooms while they are asleep moves around without them touching it.
So you wake up in a all rearranged?
Yep, or you hear it moving while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Either of you interested yet?
That would stain my britches.
Okay. So like we said, it only has four rooms. So if you wanted a room, they can be hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the opportunity, you would be able to brag in your haunted house circles, paranormal circles, that you were at the most haunted hotel in America.
Number one, baby.
Okay, why? Don't be.
Like the Yankee Stadium of haunted.
It is the Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Of haunted. Yeah.
Not the house that spooks built.
You're not a little bit intrigued.
No, because I mean, we've had these idiots on before that like do it around here where they take people on ghost tours and they show you where like they try to like see the ghost like down the hall.
Paranormal investigators.
Yeah.
But I mean,
see like a floating orb.
This is the most haunted hotel in America.
Number one.
Yeah. No, it is.
I mean, it's documented. In Ghost Aficionado.
Are you at all intrigued, Kimmy?
I'm the kind of person. That if that stuff is there, I don't want to know.
Okay.
I think it would creep me out.
Okay. But why?
I don't want to be creeped out. I don't want to, like, I guess it's one thing to, like, just go ahead, do your boobs thing.
What happened to your boobs?
See, it's that time of year.
She did it again. She blew the punchline ahead of time. You are the worst comedian's friend of all time. Do you know that?
No, nobody saw that coming. If you listen to this show, you knew it was coming.
We don't do the Dunkin' Donuts scary donut anymore. It's all I've got. It's my only Halloween bit, man.
Oh, is that a joke coming? Here's a punchline. I'm kidding. This is why no other comedians want to hang out with you. No successful comedians. Yeah. Dave Bargatze is not walking through that door.
No.
But why, Kimmy? I mean, it's not going to hurt you, right?
Yeah.
But it's not real.
But my imagination runs wild with that kind of stuff. Maybe it would be fun to do like a tour, but I don't want to like be somewhere where I need to get a good night's sleep and have that in the back of my mind.
All right, if it's not real, then how do you explain all the people that have been there talking about how scary and haunted it is?
That the furniture's been moved and all that?
And you're getting noisy ghosts. You got two women drinking tea in a parlor.
You don't think the owners are like doing some stuff?
You think owners are sneaking into the rooms of people sleeping?
Like some kind of,
I don't know.
You could steal their wallet, but you're going to move the ottoman. That's a great business plan. So it turns out that this Fainting Goat Hotel, 2 hours just south of us, that has been named in USA Today as the most haunted hotel in America, is one of 19 hotels that hold a very special distinction in New York State.
Wait, we have 19 of these?
Yes, 19 hotels that are on the haunted history New York State Trail.
Like, that's a thing?
Yes, yes. Now, okay. I don't know if it's state-sponsored.
All right, but it's a haunted trail.
It's called the Haunted History Trail here in New York State. 19 hotels that are certified haunted.
Okay.
And that you can stay in all along the way. And they run from the Canadian border north of Buffalo, like right on the American side, all the way to just outside New York City.
Oh.
The closest ones to us, Bellhurst Castle in Geneva is on there.
That's haunted.
That's what they say.
All right.
The Naples Hotel, guess where that is?
Yeah, we've done comedy in that place in the basement.
Yeah, that's why. That was the one night.
Ooh, that joke sucks.
After Tommy got off, that was the first time we never had ghosts. He walked the ghosts. And the Genesee Falls Hotel in Portageville, New York. Hmm. Those are the three closest to us.
I think we've been to all those.
Yeah, we've probably done
Portageville, I know we've been to.
Yeah, it's where our axe went to die.
So what? You can hit them all.
Yes, and those are just the three locally. Oh,
by the way, it's got to be expensive. That one is like sold out.
Well, you're talking about Bellhurst Castle?
Well, no, the one you mentioned, the original one, where you said it's like, you know, it's like number one in the country.
Kimmy, can you, when you get a chance, try and see what a night at the Fainting Goat Hotel would cost? It's in, I forget the town.
You know what? Some dick has hit them all.
Oh, probably. Yeah. I mean, if you're into this kind of thing, you've probably been to all of them.
Which means you could have done that or taken your wife to Europe. For about the same price.
Okay.
Bro, all these things are super expensive.
They're super
expensive,
guys.
Just going to that goddamn apple picking. And we could have went out for a steak.
A man in a sweater and shorts, ladies and gentlemen, Tommy Mueller.
It's called a Joe T.
A lot of inside jokes today. 252-WCMM. We're talking about the Fainting Goat Hotel. It's 2 hours south of us. It was named USA Today's most haunted hotel in America, but it is one of 19 of the Haunted History Trail New York State hotels that you can stay in.
Yeah.
252-WCMF. Pete's on CMF. Hey, Petey. How are you, buddy?
I agree with Tommy. I'm not doing this tour, but for different reasons. Because you're going to bring something home you don't want in your house.
Well, just try not to get chlamydia.
It's not chlamydia.
Yeah. Not bad.
Chlamydia
and gonorrhea. And take over your home.
Wait a minute.
You got to freaking sell it and move.
Wait, you think that you're going to, like, the spirits
coming home with you?
Well, yeah, I'm not doing.
You're not messing with that.
Okay, so not only do you.
I'm messing with that.
Not only.
Because you could bring something home to your house that you don't want in your house.
But what are the? Why would they hitch a ride with you? They've been in this place for like since like the 1800s. They like you a lot. You know, you're being a little
scenery.
You're being arrogant about your personality to ghost Pete.
They can be pretty picky.
All right. Yeah. Hey, this Pete guy seems like a pretty straight shooter. Let's go home with him.
Hitch a ride with you. They've been
all right, bye, Pete. Have a good rest of the day.
It is amazing when I'm with people that believe in all this stuff. So I had two relatives that were like sold on this stuff.
Okay.
So I had a. An ancient relative from New Orleans, and when I went down there as a kid, he wanted to show me where all our relatives were buried. So he drove this big ass Cadillac, and he took me to the cemetery. And you know, you could drive through them down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're all above ground.
Sure.
He wouldn't get out of the car, so he made me get out of the car, and he would point out where our relatives were buried, but he wouldn't put his feet on cemetery ground because he believed he would be cursed.
Oh.
And I thought he was joking, and he was serious. I'm going, man. You've had enough brain power to figure out how to make enough money to buy a Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
But you think if you put your feet on the ground of a cemetery, you're doomed.
Just in case.
So he rolled down and he's, you know, in broken half Italian, half Creole, whatever was coming out of his mouth. He's trying to explain this stuff. I go, this guy's freaking nuts. Oh, look, and I'm like 10.
Look, I'm with you. I don't believe in this stuff either.
But people get like crazy.
But I am jealous of those people a little bit.
Why?
Well, because it does look like fun if it's something you believe in. Like, this is 19.
No, but he was like afraid.
Okay. This is 19 trips that you could take Kimmy with your partner and go have fun and do something romantic.
But if you take it as entertainment, that's fine. But if you really think somebody rearranged your, like the afterlife, somebody, you're a ghost, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're dead, you go, all right, here's the afterlife. What's my job? You're going to have to go back down to like Southern Tier and move furniture around.
Bro, we're married. Do you think that your wife wouldn't want to still keep moving furniture in the afterlife?
Yeah, but it's like that's hell.
Well, why are all the ghosts from like 1700s, 1800s? Like, where are the ghosts from like the 80s?
Yeah, where's Buddy Holly? Like
they're all like whenever we talk about these places, they're all like very old buildings.
That's a great point.
And there's an easy answer.
What's that?
It's pre-ghost union. After union happened, you know, union gets into heaven. Yeah. These people didn't have
they broke
union.
It up.
Exactly. You know,
the Teamsters got a hold of it and ruined it for everybody.
Pinkerton Detention Agency came detective.
That's
agency.
Such a great point, man. Yeah. Like, if you didn't have a stovetop hat, you couldn't be a ghost.
Kimmy, do we have a price on a night of the bingo?
So it does say call for rates, but it seems like certain.
Bro.
So it lists like certain rooms. They all have like specific names. They start at about $120.
Oh, that's not bad.
Bro, that's off season. That
yeah.
ain't Halloween. Bro.
I mean, it seems like,
that's August ghost.
It seems like
you're
there
getting Bermuda short flip flop ghost.
There isn't much available for a while.
Okay, no, but I mean, even off season, it's still haunted. You don't have to go to haunted.
Not the same, man.
What do you not even believe in
summer
this stuff?
Haunting sucks.
No. Do you think there's air conditioning in there?
No. Not even a breeze. You sweaty little bitch.
Why did we not get invited to do comedy back at Bellhurst Castle again? Tommy, we know the New England Patriots.
Oh, yeah. Well, we knew the old New England Patriots.
Doesn't matter. Same logo. We hate the New England Patriots.
Yes.
And we've been dominating the New England Patriots for the better part of 4 years
mm-hmm.
now. But Sunday night's a new ballgame. And this game matters in the AFC East. And this game matters for potential playoff seeding. We all want to stay 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue, to the point you just made,
yeah,
where this game matters the most is setting a tone for a new regime in Boston. You're hanging out in the break with Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. The Patriots come to town Sunday night with a new look. They got lots of new players, Tommy, after their disaster 4-win season last year. They also have a brand new head coach. Former Patriot Mike Vrabel takes over. Their third head coach in 3 years, by the way.
Yeah, not good. Okay.
Vrabel has Patriots fans believing right now.
Mm.
They think their team is tougher because Mike Vrabel was tough. And they think that Drake May's going to take a step forward because of Mike Vrabel, because he's tough. And they believe the tough head coach is going to turn their franchise around because he's tough. And he's going to be competitive with Buffalo. And there's going to be glory because of the tough.
Well, I keep hearing the Drake May Josh Allen comparisons. I don't know about you.
No, it's interesting because I also heard the Josh Allen Mac Jones comparisons, and then I heard the Josh Allen Bailey Zappi comparisons, and then I heard the we've heard the comparisons. Mm. Tommy.
Yeah.
Sunday night, Tough Rabel has his first crack at this Bills team.
All right.
And I believe it is very important to shut his ass down out of the game.
All right, to make a statement.
Yes. Let him know right up front.
Manhandle him.
Yeah.
Bend him over.
Well.
Give him what for in the back door.
We don't have to sodomize him. I want.
Yeah, close to it, though.
I want them to feel, when they see Josh Allen and the Bills standing across from them, that the despair as a franchise and a fan base they've been feeling the last couple of years is going to be the exact same despair moving forward.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Because I know, like, the Bills, this Bills team now hates the Jets.
Yeah.
They hate them.
Yeah.
And they hate the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Do they have the same hatred for this new era Patriots?
Well, it's hard because the last 3 years, the roster keeps turning over.
Yeah.
Like, you have a ton of new players.
There hasn't been, like, one guy to, you know, double down on and say, yeah, we don't like that guy. He represents everything we hate about the Patriots.
Yeah.
All right.
So that may be the reason why there isn't that player hatred. At least if there is, we don't know about it.
Yeah. Right.
So here's the thing.
All right.
And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I would argue when it comes to football specifically, hope is a very powerful thing.
Okay.
Like, when players believe things can happen, they happen. I think we witnessed that in the Saints game last week when all of a sudden, halfway through the game, the Saints players were like, wait a minute, we can do this. You saw things start to happen.
Yeah.
And conversely, when players and coaches don't think they have a chance, well, the game's already over. We saw that happen against the Jets.
They just kind of gave up.
James Cook ran for that and everyone wanted to go home.
Just run out the clock here.
Okay. And we can look back at the Bills drought era as an example. The Bills beat the Patriots once in 15 years. And yes, the Pats were good. And yes, the Bills were bad.
Yeah.
But the Jets and Dolphins also had a really bad bunch of teams, and they were able to beat the Patriots occasionally, right? You're supposed to lose to a divisional opponent every once in a while.
Sure.
But the reason it ever happened is because as soon as that game started, it was already over because Bills players and fans were just like, oh, it's not going to happen. And I want that kind of hopelessness and fear and agony to continue in that building in Foxborough because I hate the Patriots.
They deserve a decade of being losers.
Yes. Yes. And more than a decade.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, everything about them is awful.
Because that would be huge. You would have a win against every one of your divisional opponents, right?
It's a half sweep, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a half sweep.
So you're like, yeah, you're there.
Yeah, yeah. But again,
a good spot.
I don't even care about the division right now. I don't care about the seeding in the AFC. I need this game like I need oxygen to breathe.
Okay.
That's how much I hate this franchise. Because the Patriots make it so easy to hate them even when they're not good. Like, talking about Vrabel, right? He is easy to hate.
Oh, we played the NFL.
You probably hated him when he was at Tennessee, too, right?
But we did.
There were a couple times when he got the best of the Bills. And that was frustrating, and he was a dick about it.
It's not even getting the best of the Bills, right? It's like he has this arrogance to him, like, you know, like, I'm like cool guy, but also like I'm tough guy, and like I get through to the players, but also like I yell at the players. It's like a thing. There was this.
What happened to his mouth?
I'll tell you.
Wow.
At training camp,
yeah.
The Patriots were doing a joint practice with somebody else, and there was a fight.
Yeah.
And he got in the middle of it, and we was like breaking it up, and he got hit in the face.
Did he really?
And his nose was bleeding.
Oh, okay.
And if you watched any of the
this
local,
recent?
This happened over the summer.
Oh.
And if you watched any of like the local New England,
I always do.
Right, like
who doesn't like Fox First and Boston?
No, but like the way they broke it down, it was like he tried to jump on a bomb in Fallujah. Like all it tells me is you can't keep your hands up, like and you bleed easy. Like it was like the stupidest, like most tidy little. Wow, he's got blood on his face. They're going to a Super Bowl. All
right. What's their record? 2-2.
2-2. Yes.
All right.
And it's weird because all the games they play, like they beat a bad Dolphins team in a crazy game. Mm. They lost to a, I think, way overrated Steelers team in a game that they turned the ball over 5 times but only lost by a touchdown.
Yeah.
They blew out. Who'd they blow out last week? The Panthers? So, like, it's hard to tell where they're at here.
Okay.
I mean, we'll find out quickly Sunday.
Oh, we're going to find out, buddy.
No, we are going to find out. But, like, Mike Vrabel, that's a personal thing for me, and I'm sorry.
Apparently,
that I'm going
I you've never talked about this before.
Well, because he was irrelevant for so long.
Like, you could insert his name or your dad.
No.
Get the same reaction.
No, I would much rather hang out with my dad than Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
My dad doesn't bleed as easy. No, like Vrabel was, he played for the Patriots for years, and he was always like that guy. Like, he's not great, but he does the Patriot way. And then you got to deal with him in Tennessee, right? We would see him once a year, and those games never went well. Nope. Like, yeah, I know how to. And now we got to see him two times a year. But the personal Vrabel stuff aside, because this is a me thing, I know the majority of the fan base is more excited to see someone else that's coming to town.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because, lest we not forget, former Buffalo Bills wide receiver Stephon Diggs makes his first return to Highmark Stadium since forcing his way out of Buffalo 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That is happening. He signed with New England in the offseason as their wide receiver vet. And earlier this week, Tommy, he was asked what the return to Buffalo was going to be like
for him. Yeah, the reception he thinks he's going to receive.
Just the emotions that he'll be having.
Yeah. Right,
Kimmy, this is what he had to say.
Me being there before, you know, obviously people are going to make that a huge thing. And it is a huge thing for me. You know, I got a lot of respect and I got a lot of love for that city and, you know, that fan base and even the players over there. So, you know, kind of on social media, we still, you know, take jabs at each other and, you know, support each other. But it's just going to be so nice to see those guys. You know, for me, I try to be as professional, but, you know, obviously I hold them near and dear to my heart. Football means a lot to me. And the guys that I spend with, a lot of time with over there, you know, I'm going to give them a big hug.
Yeah, I like it, man. You jab and you support. Sure, sure. Then you support and then you jab.
Jabbing and supporting.
Supporting and jabbing.
That's a weird response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Well, no, he's really excited to see these guys that, you know, he made a lot of friends over.
Big old hug, Pat.
Yeah. Because I don't remember that last year before the game against the Texans. I don't remember that. The warm reception.
No. No.
He also went on to say.
I mean, I guess this is his first time back in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's seen those guys, just not in Buffalo.
He was loved.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I mean, but there was some tension there when he left. And I don't think anybody necessarily said anything to, you know, create drama. But you could tell that both Josh Allen and the Bills and Stephon Diggs, like, they were just saying the most non-confrontational things. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like neither of them said anything about each other, but you could tell, you could feel the tension between the two sides.
Stephon Diggs has the passive aggression of a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Is that, and I know this because I
live with them. And the Bills were like that, too, because remember, that was the whole everybody eats thing.
Sure.
Because Josh Allen was like, there's nobody here that's selfish. There's nobody here. And it felt like he was referring to Diggs at the time.
It was a dig at Diggs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going back to something you said, and then moving forward to what Kimmy just said. You know, he was beloved. Yeah. There were lots of people who loved their spouse before they cheated on them in their relationship, right? Like, things can change very easily. And the whole, like, you know, Josh being passive-aggressive versus Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs has never publicly come out and explained why he forced his way out of Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. Because
his way out of Buffalo.
Everybody knew, like, he wanted out.
He forced his way out of Buffalo.
The Bills, it wasn't really on the Bills. Like, they would have probably happily had him back had he wanted to stay.
But here's the thing. For Josh Allen to be passive-aggressive and taking shots makes sense because you get blindsided by this guy you had all this success with out of nowhere. For Stephon Diggs to be like, yeah, it's cool. You're obviously lying. Josh didn't go in there, right? The offensive coordinator at the time didn't go in there. Nobody else went in there and said, we got to get rid of Stephon Diggs.
So why did he leave? Was it money?
Nobody knows.
It wasn't money because
the contract was up?
No, he had multiple.
I thought his thing was he felt like the Bills would never take the next step.
Yes.
And it was more the losses at the end of the season where he was getting frustrated and felt like, I don't know.
Yeah, I can remember the coach like hugging his head that one time. He was like all pissed off.
But like what I find interesting about that is, okay, fine. And you know, he goes, I love watching those guys. You watch them in the AFC Championship the year after you left.
Yeah.
You watch that.
Yeah.
I watched you drop a pass against Kansas City that would have set up a touchdown that takes the lead in the final 5 minutes. I watched that.
I would also argue he got a little humbled by his injury.
Humbled by playing without Josh Allen because you were going to go to Houston and be a superstar, and you became irrelevant immediately.
But he was cool. He was smooth.
Is he smooth?
Oh, he was smooth.
Bro,
he was cool. And you don't have any of that. You don't have that guy anymore.
What are you talking about? Ed Oliver stands on top of a horse.
I mean, he did have the whole off-season thing on the boat with that mystery baggy.
Oh, the drugs and the women that he was talking with. Yeah.
He's just having some fun, man.
Just saying, he hasn't had the greatest run lately.
Well, yeah, but that's what makes him cool and smooth.
By the way, Stephon Diggs, the audio we just played you, he spoke further, and he talked about leaving. He goes, you know, it's just part of the business, which really bothers me.
Well, it is.
Well, no, because it's not. He forced his way out.
Right.
This was not a situation where the Bills had to cut him to get under the cap. Mm-hmm. In fact, trading him cost the Bills a fortune. That's how much they wanted
to. What's the business he was talking about?
But that's what I mean. He goes, you know, it's part of the business. Like, Gabe Davis could say that. Gabe Davis, they didn't want to pay him. They couldn't afford him, so it's part of the business. Stephon Diggs was like, I would like to leave now. Well, it's just part of the business. Man.
Packing up my Ferrari and leaving.
Man. It's like breaking up with a girl. Like, the Bills, the situation the Bills were in, it's like breaking up with a girl and letting her keep your laptop and all your clothes just to be done with the headache.
Okay.
Just to be done with the headache. I don't know. Am I overreacting here?
A little bit. A little bit.
It's frustrating, man.
Because he may not even be an impact player.
He had 100 yards last week.
All right.
Against, I mean, it's against the Panthers, but.
And they suck.
Yeah.
On a team like he's on, he's going to, I mean, they need him. You know what I mean?
He's going to get a lot of work.
He's not a nobody.
He's going to get a lot of balls his way.
Who knows? Because Mac Hollins, former Bill, is also a receiver on that Patriots.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tarzan.
Free the feet.
Yeah.
Forgot he was there.
What's the reaction that Diggs going to be like from the fans on Sunday night?
I don't know, because he was a beloved Bill when he was here. I mean, fans loved
that
guy.
He interacted with the kids before the game.
Sure.
I mean, he did. He had those ads for M&T Bank.
Yeah, everyone remembers those knee slappers.
I love bank ads.
He catches ball, he runs.
People will still boo him just because he's on the other
team. Like you out there.
I don't think he's going to
get unless
it too
in the
bad.
Front row of your show. No, but I mean, here's the thing. But, you're right. He was beloved, and he was great with the kids and all that stuff.
And he was good.
But when it comes to Western New York, man, if there is one thing that always rings true.
What's that?
If you burn us in a way that makes you think you're better than us, we'll never forgive you
for
it. Is that fair? We have a really bad you think you're better than me complex.
We also, though, we've seen Bills leave and come back. Not saying that would happen with Diggs so much, but like... But, I don't know. Like, do we have that much hatred for guys who leave? Because just because the Bills have maintained their success without them, so I think it's easier to not hate those guys who leave when you're just continuing on without them, without really anything happening.
But I think there's a difference between leaving, because you're right. The Bills have Jordan Phillips and Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer and Shaq Lawson and John Brown. We can go on and on and on and on. None of those guys forced their way out of the franchise.
Sure.
Like, Stephon Diggs was under contract, was making some of the highest wide receiver money in the NFL.
But he wasn't happy.
Had the best quarterback in the NFL throwing him balls. His last play as a Buffalo Bill is him dropping a pass in the divisional playoffs against Kansas City that would have set them up for a potential move on to the AFC Championship game. And you want me to be like, welcome back, man. Remember the good? Nah, get out of my face. Get out of my face. And if your argument is they're not going to win anything here, well, what did they win with you? What did they win with you? They went farther than they ever did with you when you weren't here last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a way closer AFC Championship game last year than it was when Diggs was standing there watching confetti falling.
So you kind of don't like him?
I mean, look, man. God bless you. You got your money. Go have fun.
Yeah.
But don't sit here and be like, oh, yeah, man. No, remember the good times? Shut up. Shut up.
So you're going to be looking for like that little interaction?
I'm
going to
be looking
for
the way the Bills receive him. That's what I'm most interested in. Because that's what's really the tell. Not so much what he does, but how the other players react to
it. I would think they don't care.
Oh,
it's a business. They all hug and hang out and work out in the offseason.
Yeah, but most of the guys on the team now didn't play with him.
True that.
So they probably don't even care.
Well, there's a couple, and here's the thing.
He's like an old man.
You're right. Again, like Stephon Diggs said, it's a business, except in this case it wasn't.
Stop talking to him.
Because he looked at this roster and this coaching staff and said, you're not good enough to get me where I want to be. You don't think that bothers those guys?
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, the older cats.
Josh Allen, the MVP?
Yeah.
The old man. Old Josh.
8 years old. Old Joshua.